This is the Ira Kaufman Podcast, starring the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Ira Kaufman, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the water damage whisperer, Ira Kaufman. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks fan, Lee DeCamper of Joe Bucks fan. Gosh, we've been doing this podcast now coming up on 9 years, Ira. It's unbelievable. We appreciate all the support. The growing support. You can listen on Apple Podcasts, Podbean, the iHeartRadio app, other platforms, Podcast Addict. It's all over the place. And of course, at our home at joebucksfan.com. Everything is presented by Bill Curry Ford. Employee pricing is going on right now. That's for everybody. Get to their website, BillCurryFord.com. Bill Curry Ford, family owned dealership a mile north of the stadium for 65 years. They know it means something and they treat everyone like family. And they're great in the community. BillCurryFord.com. Shop there now. And the Ira Kaufman discount is in effect. You'd have to ask for it. Reach out to Sean Sullivan, the general manager. He's got it in his back pocket. You can find him on the website or at the beautiful showroom. You can get lunch down there. Biggest service department anywhere. And it's not an exaggeration. 100 loaner vehicles, mobile service. They're open Sundays for express service. BillCurryFord.com. Now, in our next episode, not this one, we're going to talk about Joe Bucks fan draft guru Sean Sullivan's record in the first round of the draft. And I'm compiling some other mock drafts to see how he scored against them exactly. But Sean had one hell of a draft. And so everybody who's stuck it out and listened to our full mock draft episode, you got a lot of good information and you got a lot of accuracy. So really cool way to go, Sean. Your hard work paid off. But even so, the draft's unpredictable. Your hard work paid off before the mock draft and before Thursday night. Now, we have a bit of a unique show for you today, and I'll explain that. We recorded around midnight last night, right after the third round. And also, we want to tell everyone, Florida's Elite Restoration is your first phone call. Your first phone call, Florida's Elite Restoration, when you have a disaster at your property. Water damage, flood, mold, fire, storm damage. You got to call them first before you call your insurance company to protect yourself. That's really what it's all about. Getting your property restored and repaired, sure, but you got to protect yourself and your bank account because you want to get the most out of your insurance claim. And the insurance company is not there to do that for you. You need an advocate. You need someone who knows the system. You need people who have worked on the insurance side of the business for your restoration team. And that is Florida's Elite Restoration. Check them out. They've got 5-star Google reviews. Unbelievable. 5 stars. Big company, but not too big where you don't get that family service. Owner Josh Martin, he's got a $500 Ira Kaufman discount for you. All you got to do is mention Joe Bucks fan or Ira when you call for your free evaluation of what's going on at your property, and they'll get out there 24/7. Don't mess around. Call them first. Mention Joe Bucks fan or Ira, and if you need them, if you sign on to have them do your restoration work and work with your insurance company, or you're just paying cash, whatever it is, you'll get $500, money for deductible or cash back. Florida's Elite Restoration. They service the greater Bay Area, but also across the state to Orlando and beyond. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Be smart, be prepared, put them in your disaster plan today. Now, some of you may know that at JoeBucksFan.com, we have the Joe Bucks Fan Show. It's been running 2+ months on WDAE Radio in Tampa. That's 95.3 FM and 620 WDAE. It runs on Saturdays, varying times. We're working out how the show is going to evolve and what's going to happen with it as we get to football season and get a little bit more entrenched. But our show was moved to 2 o'clock Saturday afternoon. So with the way the recording situation was going, we just decided, hey, we're not going to kill ourselves completely. We're going to record once and sort of turn the radio show into the podcast. So at least now you know how we put it together. And if you tune in at WDAE today at 2 o'clock or you're driving around, tune us in and you're going to hear a lot of the same stuff. So without further messing around, we're going to get to the sage and we're going to get to our conversation on the first 3 rounds. We're starting off back again in round 1. To get some of Lee's opinions, and after talking to Emeka Egbuka and letting that whole thing soak in a little bit more versus Ira's reaction to the pick on Thursday night, which was our last podcast. Enjoy. The first round, that's what has fans still buzzing, even though it's already Saturday. Thursday night, the Buccaneers go out, and what do? They draft a wide receiver, Emeka Egbuka, out of Ohio State. He is a special player, but a lot of fans, not all of them, a lot of fans are screaming, what are they doing? It's the defense that's the problem. They scored 29.5 points last year. So where do you stand on this? And then we'll get to Lee.
BPA, Steve, BPA. You made a stray remark yesterday when I said if ever the Bucs took the best player available in round one, it was Thursday night. And you said, well, fans want them to do it, and then when they do it, the fans are jumping on them because I think there's been a lot of blowback from taking this kid. I don't think it's directed about this player per se. I don't think Buck fans are thinking that the guy's going to be a bum, and I don't think he will be. But I think it's just, why are you taking a wide receiver when you got all these quality prospects on the defensive side still on the board? Now, Lee, this kid checks a lot of boxes. You've talked to him twice now. What do you notice about his character?
He seems as polished can be. He was raised right, let's put it that way. He's so well spoken. He seems very intelligent. One of the things he said, and a guy in college doing this is very surprising to me. You know, he studies receivers, not just watching tape, but he studies receivers. And one thing that he said he strove to be like, he said, older veteran receivers, they're not as quick as what they were when they were in college. He's not the first guy to point that out. They're not as physically adept as they used to be when they came out of college. They're still getting open. So he said when he was at Ohio State, he would study older receivers to find out why they were getting open so often, even though their physical skills may have deteriorated, even just a little bit. And he said it's because they're just smart. They know how to, you know, play offense against a defense. And he said that's his goal, is to find mentally how you get open.
He finds the soft spots in zones, Steve. So I think the Bucs are thinking that a lot of teams play zone coverage against the Bucs. And, you know, like a guy like Travis Kelce, you play zone against Kelce, you're going to get killed, Lee, because, you know, he does that 8-yard curl and gives you a little shake and he finds that soft spot. And Mahomes finds him. And I think that's going to be one of the fortes of this kid.
So, Emeka Egbuka, again, a lot of fans, just they just don't get it on principle. Now, but we could keep talking about him. You know, obviously, Ohio State, known as a receiver factory for sure. Brian Hartline, offensive coordinator there, and the receivers coach. He was a back-to-back 1,000-yard receiver with the Dolphins when their offense stunk and Ryan Tannehill was throwing him the ball. And so this guy knows how to do it. He was a fourth-round pick himself out of Ohio State. So he's had, and Jason Light mentioned this, he's had top-flight NFL coaching. And here he is. So yeah, he can get open. He's really good at that. One guy who issued a great endorsement of him 2 days before the draft, I watched his whole breakdown, which was really cool. Fans can see it on YouTube just after the Joe Bucks fan show ends at the top of the hour. Steve Smith, the great Panthers and Ravens receiver, he broke down just how good Egbuka is and why he's just money for it. He's the kind of guy every quarterback wants to throw to.
You're talking about a borderline Hall of Famer, Steve Smith. He might end up with a gold jacket. He was very crafty, Lee, small in stature. Egbuka's bigger than Steve Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Not as fast as Steve Smith. Not a home run hitter. But all the guy does is get open, Lee. And I think Mayfield's going to learn to trust him. I don't think it's going to take very long.
No, it won't.
Now, Lee, what do you think of Egbuka?
As far as a player?
Yeah,
I love him as a player. I've said more than once on the Ira Kaufman podcast that I just think the guy's a Chris Godwin clone. You know, I'd watch him at Ohio State. You know, their games are always on TV. Even though I'm not an Ohio State fan, I watched him. And, you know, watched him in the playoffs, too. And the guy just reminded me of a Chris Godwin clone. Everything he does, the way he blocks, the way he gets open, his physical play. He'll fight with a cornerback for a ball. The way he runs the ball, Ohio State would have him run the ball, jet sweep or end around, a bend around. And he just looks exactly like Chris Godwin. He blocks like Chris Godwin. He's not afraid to get physical at all. Just everything about him, I just envision Chris Godwin. If he wore number 14, I'd swear that was Godwin in an Ohio State uniform and not Egbuka. He just reminds me of Chris Godwin.
Ira, is it too soon to make jokes that they drafted Egbuka so they could complete a Jets sweep in the playoffs next year?
You know, Steve, I've been thinking about it. I don't want to be a hypocrite because I hate hypocrites. And, Steve, I wrote a column 2 weeks ago of which your first reaction was, I hated that column, Sage. Hated it. That's a strong word, Steve. The column basically said, the Bucks have a hell of a roster. Don't do anything crazy, light. Chill, Bucks, and take the best player that's out there. So how am I going to jump on them for doing exactly that? They didn't trade up. They didn't give up third-round picks. They got all their picks, and they took a guy that's a quality player, and if he doesn't contribute that much as a rookie, only because they got strong guys ahead of him, so be it. I can't jump on him for taking a quality player, Steve.
Before we knock a wide receiver running the ball, let's remember that the Bucs secured a Super Bowl berth by Chris Godwin running for a first down.
Nicely.
Amen. Nice. Amen. Ira, okay. Well, the answer to your...
You hated my column because you said step on their necks and get some kind of move up and go get, you know, Abdul Carter or something.
Exactly. But there are many ways to look at it, but I guess the response to you and the response to Lee as well and Bucks fans is this really the best player available?
On their board.
But, okay, great, on their board. But is he really the best player available? Man, you've got a lot of people who've thrown out there in the national media that this is a bad move by the Bucks. Chris Sims, who follows the Bucks, NBC analyst.
Roots for the Bucks.
Guest on the Joe Bucks Fan Show, former quarterback and film guru. You know, he loves Egbuka as the player, but he, in his mind, Egbuka is a really good number two receiver. That's where he is in the NFL. And look, there have been times in the past when Atlanta had Julio Jones in his prime. They had a great number two receiver, borderline great, at least coming off a strong season, Mohamed Sanu, and they went out and drafted Calvin Ridley in the first round. And a lot of their fans were like, whoa, what is this? It didn't exactly work for them, but it's been done before. Lee, do you think he's more than a really good number two?
He could be. Right now, I would say he's a number two, only because one of his new teammates is a Hall of Fame player. That's the only reason why he's number two. Let's say Godwin is healthy and Mike Evans decides, you know, I'm done. I'm retiring. I got another 1,000-yard season. I'm an NFL record holder. I'm good. I think it's fair to say Godwin would be a number one receiver. I think it's fair to say that. So the only reason he's a number two receiver is who he's playing with. That's the only reason. And here's what I could say about, you know, what are you doing drafting an offensive player? I recall last year at this time, the Falcons drafted a quarterback in the first round, and people went bananas. Right now, it's looking like a hell of a smart move.
You know, Steve, the Bucks. Here's the reason the Bucks feel really good about this pick at 19. He's clean, Lee.
Absolutely clean, yeah.
And, Steve, whether you like it or not, and Lee's taking some pot shots at this character-driven obsession with the draft, but it seems to have worked for the Bucks the last 5 years.
I love it. What's wrong with me?
He's going to be a good teammate. He's smart, and he's going to be a role model, you know, for other players that come along 3 years down the line. They'll have other young receivers that'll look up to this kid. Lee, he checks a lot of boxes.
And by the way, for, you know, drafting Egbuka over a defensive player, let's break it down. It's pretty clear the Bucks were spooked by Jihad Campbell's health. Yes. That's number one. Number two, cornerback. Are we sure if they drafted a cornerback, he was going to start?
No, of course not.
Yeah, I'm not 100% on that. We all know that Bowles is tight with Dean. I don't think he's willing to sacrifice Dean this quickly. Maybe he will, as far as, you know, 4 games of the season. If he's not happy, maybe he benches Dean. But what happens if Dean bounces back and has a really good season? I don't think Bowles is looking to bench Dean. They're not going to bench McCollum. The only place I can find him where the Bucks would draft a defensive player and he would start would be safety. Now ask yourself, what's more valuable, a top-shelf receiver or top-shelf safety?
You know, I kept wondering, why are you passing up on Ezeroku from Boston College, 16.5 sacks?
Ezeroku.
But, Steve, when the next 13 picks came around, his name wasn't called. So the Bucks weren't the only ones. You know, and other teams had, after the Bucks had pass-rushing needs, and they skipped the guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, look, and our coming up segments at the Joe Bucks Fan Show, we're going to dive into those defensive picks in rounds 2 and 3. But sticking with Egbuka here as we head closer to our break, Sage, is this any kind of referendum, Lee, on Jalen McMillan? Is it any kind of, hey, you know what? We like him, but he's more of a real good number three guy. That's where we see him.
Partially. I think you might be onto something, but I don't think it's necessarily derogatory toward McMillan. You know, I think the book is still open on McMillan. He disappeared for most of the season. Todd Bowles kind of scolded him about that in Palm Beach where you guys were at. But he also gave him praise for turning the corner last month of the season. So I think McMillan, I think his ceiling is number two. And I think the Bucs would be happy as hell to have a number two, McMillan, develop into a number two receiver.
Ira, you're the
I believe it's a little bit of a hedge against Chris Godwin. I just do. And I know that Jason Light shot down that angle, Steve, very quickly.
Sure, of course.
On Thursday night. But that's my read on it. They think Godwin's making strong progress. He's working his tail off to get back. But they're not 100% about when he's going to be back. Not 100%.
Ira, 30 seconds. Was any of this about looking ahead to Baker Mayfield and getting him to want to stay and to re-up his contract and feeling like this team is all in for me?
Steve, you can never be wrong by thinking that things that happen at One Buck Place are somehow connected to Baker Mayfield. You can never go wrong. Lee is the face of the franchise. He just is. And he's won over Buck Nation. He's won over everybody in that building. And Lee, everything goes through Baker Mayfield at this point. I mean, everything.
I think Steve's absolutely correct. It's like, babe, we're looking out for you, buddy. We're looking out for you down the road. Stick around.
And that face of the franchise has one big fat smile on it. And, you know, we talked a lot about Emeka, not Emeka, Emeka Egbuka as a first-round pick in the last segment. And round two, Ira. Round two, a lot of people a little bit stunned because the Bucs took a cornerback with a serious injury history. Benjamin Morrison out of Notre Dame, a captain. A guy who was a crazy ball hawk as a freshman, 6 picks, then 3 picks as a sophomore, and then injured last year. And here he is, just turned 21, now a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. His father played one season when Todd Bowles played with the Redskins. They were teammates. And his father's a lot younger than Bowles and not, you know, maybe 8-9 years younger. But here he is on the Buccaneers, Ira. What do you think?
Well, I'm a little surprised that his injury history didn't kind of take him off the Bucs board completely, or at least drop him down maybe to a lower round than round two. Look, they've had trouble keeping guys healthy in the Bucs secondary. They had Morrison. I was hoping for somebody up front with a pass rush. I didn't see it. I saw some guys still on the board that were tantalizing to me. They bypassed him, took a corner. Todd Bowles, former defensive back in the National Football League, had a big say, without question, in day two of the draft. I'm not sure he was the leading guy on the wide receiver in round one, but everything went through Bowles, I think, on day two, Lee. Am I exaggerating that?
I just thought it was interesting, Ira, that after the draft was over with Friday night, the second and third rounds, Mike Beal, the VP of personnel, basically said, we've got our eye on pass rushers tomorrow, meaning today. For day three. Okay. If you're basically announcing you're looking for pass rushers, what was so wrong with the guy from Boston College you could have had?
Yeah.
I just thought that was very interesting. This Morrison guy, if he's on the field, he's a hell of a cornerback. But I'm trying to wrap my head around, and I've written this several times already, how do you square replacing a guy who can't stay on the field with a guy who can't stay on the field? I know bunch of Bucs fans out there that they think Morrison is the new starting corner for the Bucs, and it's just a matter of hours. Jamel Dean will be out of a job. Well, this guy, Morrison, he's had 3 surgeries in 4 years. That's not even counting a quad injury. That makes Jamel Dean look like a rock of stability.
Like an Iron Man.
Yeah. I understand why you would roll the dice on Morrison, because he's got really good talent. But if your biggest problem with Dean is he can't stand on the field, and that's what Bowles said, how do you square it that you're bringing in an injury-prone guy?
One thing that jumped out at me, Steve, in the interview with Morrison on video, and I mean this in a very, very positive way, especially at the position that he plays, he's a really confident kid, Steve. He's very confident in his own abilities. Steve, I think that's a prerequisite if you're going to play cornerback in the National Football League.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, in the third round, the Bucs took Jacob Parrish, a much speedier cornerback, versatile guy as well, smaller, probably an inside guy. But it reminded me instantly of the 2019 Buccaneers draft. Second round, Sean Murphy Bunting. Third round, Jamel Dean. Now, that worked out pretty darn well. Now, of course, it didn't work out as in the rookie season when the Bucs' pass defense wasn't very good in 2019. You know, so any comparisons there or thoughts on that, Sage?
Well, they're two disparate talents, I think. As you said, Parrish much faster than Morrison. Morrison, the bigger body, much bigger arm length. It looks like Parrish might be ticketed to try out for the slot corner role. I'm still not sure what they're doing with Tyke Smith, Lee. I'm not sure if they're moving him or they're not moving him. I don't like the idea of moving him, Lee. I think he showed quite a few attributes at the slot corner at the NFL level. It's not easy to play. Everybody's looking for the next Rondé Barber. I'm not trying to compare Tyke Smith to that, but, you know, a lot of guys have come and a lot of guys have failed to master that position. So we'll see what they do with Parrish. He is small, Lee. He's small. But I think he ran under a 4.4.
Yeah, 4.35. 4.35.
Very impressive. Lee, I still, it's tough for me to get my arms around not drafting a pass rusher in the first three rounds, Lee. I'm quite surprised.
If you take Jason Light at his word, I don't know how you can be surprised, because he said, quote unquote, he hit the depth that edge rush gives him comfort.
But wait a minute, Lee. They don't have the third pick in the fourth round. I mean, how does he know who's still going to be there?
No. The current depth on the roster. We're talking Anthony
Nelson,
Diaby,
Braswell.
Anthony Nelson.
I think Beal said it also.
Chris Braswell. Tonight. Well, like Lee said, Beal said they're looking at pass rushers on Saturday. He was asked about not drafting an edge rusher, and he said, well, there was some guys we hope we might get on Saturday. You know, Bucks have picks in rounds 4, 5, and 7. But that told me right away, that was one hell of a tell, and I followed up with Mike Beal. And again, if you don't recognize that name, he was just promoted to VP of player personnel.
Right.
Bottom line, I asked him, does this mean inside linebacker, you're good? And he backed off that a little bit, but he said, yeah. Voss, as they call him, Servassier Dennis, they're excited about him coming back.
He didn't mention Walker.
Anthony Walker, the free agent, signed Lavonte David's handpicked good friend, longtime inside linebacker. So they think they're good at inside linebacker. And Bucs fans wondering, how are we going to improve this defense? That wasn't very good. Their current answer is, we're going to put two rookies in the defensive backfield and hope for the best. That's tough right now for Bucs fans. Some of them.
Lee,
A lot of them, Lee.
At this point, I don't think it's I'm being cynical when I say I don't necessarily share the organization's confidence in the current depth chart up front, whether it's outside linebacker or defensive end. Lee, I don't see it. They're banking a lot on Hassan Reddick, Lee. There's no two ways about it. I mean, here we are going into the fourth round, and they've added, you know, a wide receiver and two corners, Lee. That tells me that they really think Reddick's going to make a huge difference. You know, he's one guy coming off a bad year. I think he's a very talented pass rusher, Lee. But I want some guys around Reddick that in case something happens. Suppose he gets hurt or something.
Well, first off, I'm all in on Reddick. I wanted him 2 years ago. I'm glad they got him now. But I'm just going to say this, and I have to clarify it, because invariably people will confuse what I'm going to say. Honest critique is not hate speech. This is honest critique. I like all these guys. Doesn't mean they're Deacon Jones. This organization, year after year after year, brags up their edge rushers like they're Bruce Smith, like they're Simeon Rice, and oh, you just wait. These guys are going to dominate. These guys are going to kick everybody's tail. You just wait, and we wait. And what happens? We're still waiting. One of these days, I wish someone with this team, with some influence, would say, damn it, go out and get someone proven to bring in here and get the job done. Why should we trust these guys? Now, yes, they brought in Reddick, and thank goodness they did. And I really think that's going to be a major difference. But please, with the Chris Braswell and you know, a sack and a half and a healthy scratch in a playoff game when the team was so desperate for a sack, they're going out and getting Shaq Barrett. I mean, come on. put, that's almost to the point of insulting people.
And Steve, one of the points, you know, to back up what Lee's saying is, Bowles is always like top five in blitz rate. You know, 45% blitz rate. He doesn't necessarily want to do that. He wants the four-man rush and then blitz when you want as an element of surprise. But now nobody's surprised because they expect the Bucks to blitz all the time.
Sure. Now, on the upside, the Bucks are obsessed with their character picks. They've built a hell of a culture, and they feel they found a winning formula. And this guy Morrison, like I said, just turned 21, a Notre Dame captain, and they've had success with, when you look at Winfield, with drafting the son of an NFL player. Now, Antoine Winfield Sr. was a superstar. Morrison's dad was not. But, you know, grew up in the game. Bowles knows his father. Morrison, we didn't get the whole story, but apparently Bowles is close with his uncle. Yeah. He's mentioned Uncle Gil. You got an Uncle Gil, Ira? Maybe a Bernie or something?
Uncle Louie. I got an Uncle Louie.
Uncle Louie. So, you know, they trust that. And they love the work ethic, and I'm sure he's got incredible work ethic. We don't know his numbers because he had a private workout. You know, he says he's healthy, but, multiple surgeries, 21 years old, Ira. The guy's, like, still developing even. I think it's a big gamble. I'm not sure they even had to take it, but they did. But let's be a little bit fair in general here. Jamel Dean was that same kind of project, a guy who had multiple knee surgeries coming out of Auburn. He had a fast 40 time, and they thought, you know, he fell in the draft. Here he is. We like his traits. And it worked out for them because the guy was a Super Bowl corner and had a few good years. You know, I don't know. But it is nerve-wracking.
And Lee, to be fair, which we strive to do, Light has earned the benefit of the doubt.
Absolutely.
Like, absolutely.
He has earned the benefit of the doubt.
He certainly has. And this is not a knock on Parrish. He seemed to be somewhat impressive. But the Bucks, certainly, their first two at-bats in this draft were 2-for-2. Egbuka, you know, the Bucks raved about his character. And when he came in today and sat in a media room and answered questions for about 20 minutes, boy, oh boy, was he impressive. Really impressive. And Morrison, well, we haven't gotten to meet him yet, but at least through Zoom, he was so well-spoken. And Ira, I think you'll agree with this. Most guys that are well-spoken are not idiots.
I was like, well, except his bits over here. Otherwise, pretty good. I got to say this. I thought it was interesting and spoke to the guy's confidence in a weird kind of way. So here's Benjamin Morrison on a Zoom call, and his little Zoom handle, which you see in the lower corner of the box with the video screen, says Ben Morrison. So he punches that in on his side, not the Bucks.
I thought he wants to be Benjamin Morrison.
So he was asked, should we call you Ben or Benjamin? He says, Benjamin. But it wasn't
please.
On his Zoom page.
Yeah. He said, Benjamin, so, please.
A lot of guys would have said, oh, it's a, call me whatever you want.
Wait a minute. I got to show my age to Lee DeKemper here. Lee, here we go again.
Another Ben movie, Franklin?
Another great movie. The last time I heard somebody being called Benjamin was Benjamin Braddock, 1967, The Graduate. Boy. The Graduate, Dustin Hoffman. That's a landmark film, Mr. DeKemper.
I've only seen maybe 2 minutes of
it. Landmark film.
Emeka Egbuka, Ohio State wide receiver. Benjamin Morrison, the three surgeries and counting at cornerback at a Notre Dame. Very, very talented guy. Ball hawk as a freshman and as a sophomore. He came out after his junior year. And Jacob Parrish. Right, got that night, Jacob.
Yep, Jacob Parrish.
Jacob Parrish,
out of the fantastic
Kansas State,
Josh Freeman country.
That's right.
If I wanted to shake some people up there, and so we've been talking about that. Of course, I got to ask you this. Todd Bowles said this offseason he shook a lot of people, made a lot of waves when he said we need to upgrade our killer instinct. That's how we're going to fix this team. Killer instinct. I don't get a feeling like, I'm not saying these guys aren't, you know, tough players at all, but I don't know. Do you think that these additions are killer instinct kind of guys?
Well, I'll tell you what qualifies as a killer instinct. The Bucks up by 4 points, 55 seconds to go. The other team on the buck 20, driving, need a touchdown to beat the Bucks, and Morrison come at the goal line and makes a leaping interception. That's a killer instinct. Snuff them out. Snuff them out in clutch time. Lee, I've said it before. The dominant number for Todd Bowles during this entire offseason is 7. 7 interceptions. It is woeful. It is embarrassing. It is humiliating, especially for a former defensive back like Todd Bowles. And by hook or by crook, that number has to change. And Bowles knows that, and I think he's trying to address that. Now, I like to address it making the quarterback running for his life, Lee. That's how I like to address it, and I think I speak for you, too.
Oh, yeah.
Lee, we're 2 days into this draft, and there ain't no pass rusher been added to the Buck roster.
And, well, again, Jason Light, and I quote, "The depth of our edge rushers gives me comfort."
Depth, those are just names, Lee.
I agree with you, Ira, but the man who runs this team said he's comfortable with it. Does that sound like a guy who's going to bust his tail to go out and get three edge rushers? Doesn't sound like it to me.
I'm sorry, Jose Ramirez and Marquise Watts, don't thrill me.
Yeah, those guys that supposedly drove Tristan Wirfs nuts in practice.
You know, it's wild, right, Ira, because the fans, and I think fans in general are pretty smart. I'm not talking one by one. I'm talking collectively. Fans are usually pretty well know what they're talking about, I from my experience.
Sure they do.
And Bucks fans, well, we polled them at JoeBucksFan.com. They started off this offseason saying inside linebacker, team's number one need. Now the Bucks aren't going to address it in this draft. It's obvious. And
they had that as number one over a pass rusher.
That was number one. Then it shifted. They shifted and made edge rusher as the offseason went on, even after signing Hassan Reddick. They said edge rusher, top priority in the draft. The Bucks did neither in the first three rounds. And maybe that just goes to a best player available philosophy and confidence. But, man, you don't see that very often.
Lee, I dare say that while I think they did the best player available philosophy.
At least in the first
round one.
Yeah.
I don't think that was the case in round two. I think.
I agree.
I think Todd Bowles says we got to get some cornerback competition going. Lee, they got a lot of names in that secondary. To me, the only sure things are Winfield, McCollum, and there's going to be a place for Tyke Smith somewhere, even if it's a slot corner where he only plays 75%. Still, it's a critical position. Everybody else is up for grabs, Lee.
What do you mean by sure thing?
Sure starters. McCollum, Winfield, and Tyke Smith, in my mind.
Does Antoine Winfield's terrible season last year, and I'm a big fan of his, so I hope people don't, although I know some will, I hope people don't twist my words. I'm a big fan of his, but that was embarrassing last year. And if he was as hurt as Bowles said he was, then why was he on the field? I mean, he was that didn't even look like the same player last year. After the second Atlanta game, when he had a forced fumble ripped off because somebody's too cheap to have a camera on the goal line. Ever since that game, he wasn't even just a guy. He was a body.
And, Lee, when you combine that with the poor year from Whitehead,
yeah,
they had poor safety play last year.
Yeah.
Steve, he set a very high bar in 23.
Of course.
So I'm not going to ask him to live up to 23, but I'm pretty confident he's going to bounce back.
All right, so, Ira, look. As it stands right now, and you know, the Bucks fans came into this draft focusing on upgrading, fixing the defense, getting it just enough better to complement this great offense so we can get to the NFC title game at least. Now, as we sit here today, there's a very good chance that Jamel Dean beats out Morrison.
Oh, yeah.
For the starting job. I asked VP of player personnel Mike Beal, will Benjamin Morrison, the second-round draft pick, the cornerback out of Notre Dame, do you expect him to participate in spring practices? He didn't say yes. He said, well, we'll let the doctors figure that out. That's not the most encouraging answer. Now, if Dean beats this guy out, and look, Dean's a great athlete. He's got Todd Bowles' love and affection. They're close, and he's not exactly ancient.
What is this guy, Champ Bailey? What I'm
saying is Dean is very, very good at looking great through training camp. He is very good at that, okay?
Even gets picks.
So he's probably going to look really good this training camp when he knows he's fighting for his career. So I think there's a good chance he wins the job. And if the third-round pick, Jacob Parrish, has to fight Tyke Smith for nickel, well, Tyke Smith was the Bucks' leader in forcing turnovers last year. So what's the value in getting him off the field? And you know, internally, the Bucks love Tyke Smith.
They do.
I don't know if there's even any change on the defense guaranteed yet.
There is this suggestion that Tyke Smith could move next to Winfield, and that would open up a slot job. I don't share your optimism for Dean. I'm not going to get off this thing, Lee. I don't think Dean is the game one starter for the Bucks.
Wow.
I'm sorry. How's that going to increase your pick total? How are you going to have more picks than seven when you're still dragging Dean out? He's got one interception in 3 years, Steve.
What's more important, playing good football or picks?
I don't like his football, Lee. I don't like it.
I would be surprised if he's not starting. really. From gathering, I mean, from talking to people within the organization, I don't get the sense that they're really looking to push him out of the building like so many fans are. I don't get that impression.
I kind of sit in between. I think they are trying to push him out of the building, but I think they're very open to him standing up and saying, not yet. Maybe it's going to be one more year.
If they really were motivated to get him out, he'd been cut already.
I'm just saying, Ari.
Well, Lee, they hadn't drafted the corners.
I mean, you can't cut
point.
A guy.
Well,
no, they could still cut him. His money's not guaranteed. I don't think we're going to see him traded for a sixth-round pick later today. But I just have to say, one thing consistent about Dean is he looks great in training camp. And that's hard for a guy like Todd Bowles to turn down.
You know, Lee, the one thing I keep thinking about in terms of the pass rush, and I can't get around it.
I'm glad Ira's on the pass rush.
I am on it.
As opposed to me.
He's on the warpath.
I am. And the one thing I keep going back to, Reddick's probably a one-year guy.
Yes.
And you can't get around that. He's probably a one-year guy. If he doesn't play well, they don't want him back. And if he has a hell of a year, Lee, he's leaving.
Yeah.
So shouldn't that factor into, hey, we got to protect ourselves? Where's the protection, Steve?
I would think so.
That's why fans wanted an edge rusher.
I've thrown this number out before. No, obviously, I'm just throwing out a number. But I think it's a 40% chance Reddick is back next year.
All right. I don't want to live with 40%.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you.
One thing I wrote, Ira, at Joe Bucks fan, I said, if I had to bet, I'd say there's a better chance Lavonte David is back in 26 than Hassan Reddick. Now, I know we're getting ahead of ourselves,
but
maybe the Bucks know something we don't when it comes to Reddick. Maybe he's already expressed, hey, look, guys, I don't want to change teams anymore. I want to kick ass.
Rosenhaus is a reasonable agent.
You know, well, he's got a good relationship with Light, a long time, a lot of players, including Shaq Barrett. And
you're right.
And maybe Reddick's already expressed to them, look, I don't want to move anymore. I want this to be my last stop. And just treat me fairly and I'll kill for you.
Especially if he's very comfortable in the building, which I think he will.
Well, he hasn't been here yet, so we don't really know. We're just speculating. But at the end of the day, we've got three rounds done of the NFL draft, and the Bucks did not add an edge rusher. And they lost Trajan Soyinka. No big loss. Jason Light still has his comfort, even without his guy.
And they haven't added a linebacker.
But they really believe in Chris Braswell. So this was a huge victory, these first three rounds, for Chris Braswell.
Logan Hall,
standing tall, yep. Logan Hall.
Yep, yep.
And Servassier Dennis is the big winner.
And Yaya Diaby.
Well, Yaya was always going to get in.
Yeah,
he
was going to be a starter.
Nothing
no
was
what.
In jeopardy for Yaya. But, man, what a draft so far. You know, Egbuka, Ira, have you had a little more time? You have anything else you want to add about Egbuka and his impact here? We don't know if they really have an eye on him for special teams. He was a kick returner early in his career. But I don't think most teams don't put a first-round pick out as a returner to run the risk there. Years ago, Joey Galloway did it, but that was different times, and he was an electric, accomplished returner when he did that for Seattle.
I'm starting to think, Lee, that I think the Bucks had him ranked as one of the 15 best players on the board.
Egbuka?
Yeah.
I'm starting to think that way. Probably. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty obvious to me that they really thought a lot of him. Really, and you know, you were there, Ira, when I asked Mike Beal, the VP of personnel, when I asked him, you know, the way Jason's talked about this guy, the way you've talked about this guy, sounds like minds were made up weeks ago, and he didn't deny that.
He's sort of a guy with no blemishes, Steve. You really got to look hard to try to find a weakness.
Yeah, you know, what I find interesting is that the way the Bucks paint it, they sort of paint it as it's hard to find the really super high character guy who's a good player. They sort of put it out there like
yes,
that. Like it's not a dime a dozen.
Yeah, that is the suggestion. They've been through this a long, long time. You know, look, Light's got a five-year, hitting streak. But last year was absolutely phenomenal, right, Lee? Absolutely phenomenal. I'm not looking to match that this year. I don't think they will. That's a very high bar. Sort of like Winfield's, 2023 season. You can't expect that. And Lee, Devin White's, unbelievable year when he had 9.5 sacks. That set a very high bar. And I don't like to use Devin White's name with any of these guys, Lee, because it didn't end well.
There's an asterisk by his name, certainly.
I'm looking forward to the rest of the draft, Steve. We'll see what happens. They damn sure better get some guys up front.
All right, Ira, 30 seconds tops. We're straying from the Bucks for a second. Shedeur Sanders not going in the first three rounds. Your thoughts?
I can't think of anything else but the specter of Deion Sanders hovering over this whole pick. I don't think it's the biggest factor. Because if they thought the guy was going to be, Bo Nix, they draft him. They'd handle the spectacle. But, Lee, when you got a guy who's not considered elite, and then you factor in, you know, all the distraction potential, having said that, I still can't believe five or six quarterbacks have gone ahead of him, Lee. It's really shocking.
All right, the Sage is blaming Deion Sanders. Hey, why not? Two cornerbacks and a wide receiver. If you had edge rusher and inside linebacker on your Buccaneers bingo card, you lost.
Are the Bucs doing too much hoping again? You hope Servassier Dennis stays healthy, even though he's never proven to be so. You hope Jamel Dean gets all these picks.
You hope Morrison stays healthy. That's right.
It's Benjamin Morrison, the new second-round pick,
Benjamin
the rookie
Morrison.
You
cornerback.
Hope that between the practice squad warriors, who can't seem to find their way on the field on a Sunday afternoon, and Braswell and Yaya Diaby, somehow between them come up with 25 sacks. Do you think that, once again, the Bucs on defense are playing with a whole lot of hope?
I'm glad you just said on defense, because it's a stark contrast. Instead of hope on the other side of the ball, you got production.
Credibility. Resume.
You think Bucky Irving is going to be awful in year two if he stays healthy? Absolutely not. Kid's sensational. You think Mike Evans is going to drop down to 600 yards receiving if he stays healthy? Absolutely not. You think Mayfield's going to be awful in his third year in the Bucs? Lee, you're making a fair point. And I think a little bit of hope's going with Reddick.
I think so, too.
Though he's got that track record, Lee, that great four-year run when he averaged, I believe, over 12 sacks for those 4 years. But, Lee, last year was so bad, that, you know, he's got to resurrect himself. I think he can, and I think the Bucs are going to win that bet, especially at the price they got. But, Lee, they ain't getting him for that price after this year.
No.
No, they're not.
You know, I got to give Todd Bowles a lot of credit. When Bowles said in Palm Beach at the owners' meeting, you got to score points to win. I'm not going to pass up on a wide receiver. And I thought there was a California-like earthquake under my feet when he said that. I'm like, whoa. And then a couple years ago, I remember I was talking about Mike Leach, and I told him my favorite quote from Mike Leach, that if people think a balanced offense is 50% pass and 50% run, they're 50% stupid. And Bowles said, that's right.
It is.
And
right.
I'm like, holy cow, Bowles is saying this? But I got to give the guy a lot of credit. He seems like he's open-minded. He seems like he's adjusting. And he wasn't blowing smoke in our face.
Ira, you know what? Jason Light went out of his way at his Friday afternoon news conference. And he praised Todd Bowles for being a defensive head coach who was sprinting up. Yeah, he painted a picture of Bowles running to the front of the line saying, draft the wide receiver, draft the wide receiver. It is rare. Have you seen this kind of thing in your history, Ira?
It is rare, considering all the problems that the Bucs had on Bowles' side of the ball. He gave his blessing for a wide receiver who might be number four on the depth chart, depending on what's going on with Godwin. Now, I got one that's called room service, so I'm going to serve it up, Lee, right now to Steve.
Room service? What's
she
wearing?
It's room service.
What's her name?
Here we go, Steve. On paper, shouldn't this be the best offense in football next year?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I can go there.
Oh, wait a minute now.
Better than Detroit?
I think Mayfield might be better than Goff at this point.
Wow.
The beauty is that it's even a discussion.
It's a discussion.
So, look, they averaged 29.5 points last year. Tom Brady's heyday, 2020.
I think they averaged 30.
They averaged, I believe it was 30.8.
Okay.
So, Ken Igbuka, who is great on these deep seam routes and says he tracks the ball better than anybody.
And the return of Godwin, potentially.
But if you look at the math with Godwin there, Godwin not there, it's a little bit different. Last year, we only played seven games. But if you say that Igbuka can maybe make a few of these deep balls that Trey Palmer could never haul in, all of a sudden, you know, does that mean three more touchdowns? Is that the extra point and a half to get him up to 31 a game? I think it very well could be if Josh Grizzard is up to the challenge.
They got a great kicker too, Lee. They got a lot of stuff going on that side of the ball.
Rich Arbar, H-R-I-B-A-R. He's a longtime worker and statistician for Warren Sharp. And I guess he's sensed that, you know, Bucs fans were outraged on Friday night because they did not address defense. They went wide receiver. And he had some stats. He said, you want to know why the Bucs drafted Igbuka? This is why. When Evans and Godwin were out of the Bucs offense, the wide receiver numbers were horrible. Just completely bottomed out.
Understandable.
And he said, This is why they drafted Ibaka.
Isn't it true, though, Steve, that during those 3 or 4 weeks, they were still scoring a good number of points?
Well, Otten, they hung in there, right? Kate Otten played well.
Yeah, Kate Otten.
You go back, you watch the Chiefs game. Two huge catches by Sterling Shepard. You know, and they got some good contributions. A couple of Rakeem Jarrett made a couple of catches in that mix, but it wasn't enough. They were 0-3 in the three games Mike Evans missed. And, of course, when he and Godwin went down against the Ravens, they lost that game, too. So,
Basically,
they were 0-4 without their guys, and that slapped them in the face a little bit.
I think that is a fair point. You know why I don't think it's outrageous, Lee, to suggest that the Bucs could lead the league in scoring? Because if the defense is going to rebound as well as light, and Bowles tells us it's going to, that's going to lead to more opportunities,
more possessions
for Mayfield, and more possessions.
I'm glad you said that, because at first I thought you were going to go, Mayfield's got to do X, Y, and Z for the Bucs to win.
No.
And that was Jameis's problem. Jameis knew if he didn't put up 35 points, the Bucs were going to lose. Their defense was so just garbage. And I still think that's what got Jameis in a lot of trouble. Here's my stat for you, Ira. And this is for the Jamel Dean haters out there. They blame Dean for all of the world's ills, including the Ebola virus and global warming.
And no more coconut donuts at Dunkin' Donuts. It's something that's very
dear to Ira's
depressing
heart,
to Ira.
When Jamel Dean could not start for the Bucs last year, 1-5.
You've been doing your homework. I'm appreciative, and I'm a little jealous.
I'll say this, Ira. You're talking about the Bucs leading the league in scoring. Man, the thought of that, it's tantalizing.
Salivating.
Mayfield had just 71.4% completion last year. How much better can he do?
I didn't say he had to be better. Yeah, I just said more opportunities.
I understand. I mean, look, the running game, maybe they catch up to some of Bucky Irving a little bit. I don't know.
Nobody's catching up to Bucky Irving. That's
but
my guy.
I do want to say, I did write at JoeBucksFan.com before the Adam Schefter rumor came out saying that it's ludicrous to think that Rashad White was going to get dealt. Now, that could happen at the end of the draft, but it's really a silly concept when you think about they're going to take that great offense and pull a guy out who had more than 1,000 yards from scrimmage.
You know, he caught 6 touchdown passes.
He had 9 touchdowns and 1,000 yards from scrimmage, and people are talking about dealing him for a 4th-round pick.
Yeah. Why would you do that?
You're trying to win a Super Bowl. I'm not saying he's a superstar, but critical cog, the numbers say you don't do that.
And he ran the ball better, Lee, last year.
Better.
4.3 yards a carry. Yes. He was respectable behind a great offensive line. Ira, this draft, it's not going to sit well with Bucs fans for a while, in general. And I don't think anybody, you know, we heard the boos at the stadium when Egbuka was picked.
Shocking.
And I was proud of the passion. I loved it. I loved the passion of the fans because you got to care deeply to boo. I don't think they don't like him. Most fans, and we polled them at Joe Bucks Fan, the top answer was pleased. They were pleased with the pick of Egbuka, but you can be pleased and still wish you had better. It's kind of like, you know, years ago you went out with Muriel Berkowitz, but you really wanted Jane Fonda, you know?
I understand.
So I think fans are going to accept this draft, but they're going to be skeptical and maybe a little more dialed into the preseason.
I think it's a fair point. You know, Lee, last year they drafted the center, and it didn't get a negative reaction. People were very pleased with it because they felt that the Bucs desperately needed an upgrade in the middle of the offensive line, which had been much maligned heading into last season. Couldn't run the ball a lick behind the offensive line.
Would have helped they had a guy who could read holes.
Yeah, and so, Lee, the center gets applause, and a wide receiver who has a chance to be a dynamic player, the Buck fans are pissed off.
I can't figure that one out. And what I also cannot figure out is, just last week, those same people that booed, you ask them about Jason Light, oh, he's doing a kick-ass job, and he is. So all of a sudden, Jason Light got stupid overnight? I mean, I'm disappointed that Bucks fans would do that. I'm like you, Steve. I like the passion, but I'm disappointed that they almost overnight lost their trust in Jason Light. That disappointed
me. Sage, you know what? Nobody boos the Joe Bucks fan show on 95.3 WDAE and AM 620 every Saturday, so we're happy about that. But that's an awesome point. Last year they cheered a center, and this year they're booing an electric wide receiver. It's unbelievable. You know, maybe it's because it's going to confuse so many fantasy teams how the Bucs are going to work all these guys in. But I like the pick. You know, on our podcast, I said months ago and took a lot of heat from both of you guys saying, what, offense? This got to be draft's got to be defense. I like the forward-thinking nature of it all, but we're going to see if it helps them win a Super Bowl. Lee talked about banking on hope. We've added two rookie cornerbacks who are going to have to win jobs, and we got no inside linebacker or extra edge rush. It's interesting.
Wait, here's a different way to look at the first three rounds. Maybe, at 19, they were going to go with the best player on their board. Okay. So, Lee, in the second round and the third round, I don't think they were really knocked out by the pass rushers that were available. I have to think that way. They didn't think it was a great crop, the guys that were still on the board.
Either that or they've got a skewed view of the, you know, their quote-unquote deep roster at edge rush.
My point is, if you had the edge rusher that was available with the same grade as the cornerback that's available, I'm taking the edge rusher.
Sure.
So I don't think they were overwhelmed by what was left on the board, man, in terms of pass rush.
You just don't know. I mean, Jason Light the other day was talking about Jose Ramirez, who's 2 years on the practice squad as an edge rusher.
I got to ask you a question about offense real quick. So now the Bucs potentially have a four-headed monster wide receiver. Now last year, and please, again, people, don't misconstrue what I'm saying. The Bucs offense was historically fantastic last year. Yet it was a dink and dunk offense. And Liam Cohen got upset with me when I mentioned that. And I'm like, Liam, you know, don't get mad at me. I said, your offense is humming. How can I complain? But matter of factly, it was a dink and dunk offense. They rarely took shots downfield. You got a new offensive coordinator. You got these four weapons. Provided they're healthy, does the offense change? Do they throw downfield more?
I think they do. I think Grizzard is more inclined to do it from what I've seen of Grizzard, from what I've heard from Grizzard. I think he realizes the sage philosophy. You must go downfield four or five times, the Al Davis philosophy. It served Al Davis pretty darn well, didn't it?
I love that.
All right, Sage, you have a farewell for your podcast listeners who some of them need to be soothed. Some of them need to go back and listen to your reaction podcast to the first round.
Steve, Saturday evening when I'm dunking my coconut donut into my coffee at that stage, if the Bucs haven't added any potential pass rushers, I'm dumping my coffee out. Anybody that's in the vicinity is going to be in trouble, including Cosmo.
You're threatening your dog, is what you're saying?
All bets are off. I'm going to be upset.
Well, I don't know exactly, Ira, what quality they'll get in round five with a potential threatening pass rusher. But, you know, some people
just give me a warm body, Steve, at that point.
And a warm donut. All right, Sage, we'll see you after the draft. Thanks again to Florida's Elite Restoration, floridaseliterestoration.com. Your first call when you have a disaster in your home. And Bill Curry Ford, employee pricing is in effect. This is your weekend. This is your month to make something great happen. Unbelievable pricing now. Employee pricing, BillCurryFord.com.